imagine sitting down with a world-class therapist, right? You spend 45 minutes doing like the absolute hardest emotional labor of your life.
Oh, yeah, just completely exhausting.
Right. You're digging into childhood fears, you're unpacking career anxieties, maybe untangling some messy relationship conflict, and you leave that room feeling lighter, completely seen, and, profoundly understood. But then, and this is the kicker, you walk in for your next session a week later, sit on the couch, and this supposedly brilliant therapist looks you dead in the eye, pulls out a blank notepad, and says, "Hi, nice to meet you. What brings you in today?"
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's the ultimate betrayal of intimacy, honestly. Because
Yep.
everything you just built is instantly reduced to zero.
Exactly. And that amnesiac therapist is essentially the blueprint for almost every single interaction we have with artificial intelligence today. You pour all this rich personal context into a chat window, you have a massive breakthrough, and the moment you close that tab, the system effectively throws its notebook into a fire. You are just wiped clean.
Which is, it's the fundamental bottleneck if we ever want AI to evolve from being just a super-powered calculator into something resembling an actual companion. Because true relationships are built on continuity.
And that continuity is the core mission of today's deep dive. We're exploring a really fascinating set of developer notes detailing the creation of version 0.1 of an AI companion. This is for a platform called PanPenMao.
Yeah, Pam Pam Mao.
Right. And the creator of this feature set out to solve what they consider the ultimate technical moat in AI, which is memory orchestration. So we're going to unpack how they built a system that stops just summarizing facts, like, "Oh, we talked about work today," and actually starts tracking how you speak, your hidden emotional signals, and, who you really are across dozens of conversations.
Yeah, and to really grasp the weight of what this developer built, you have to understand the environment of PanPenMao first.
Right. It's not a standard app.
Exactly. This isn't another Silicon Valley app designed to, write faster emails for you. It's a suite of 10 different applications that blend thousand-year-old Chinese metaphysical systems with modern AI logic.
Let me pause you right there, actually, because when I read the source material, it mentioned things like Bozzi charts. And for the listener who might be completely unfamiliar with Chinese metaphysics, what are we actually dealing with here?
Sure. So Bozzi, which translates to eight characters, is this deeply traditional astrological profiling system. It's based on the exact year, month, day, and hour of your birth.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And alongside that, PanPenMao offers daily divination, intricate dream interpretation. So the users coming to this platform, they're already in a highly vulnerable, deeply introspective state of mind.
That makes a lot of sense.
Right. They're seeking meaning, not just, utility.
Which really makes it the perfect stress test for an AI companion, because one of PanPenMao's core features is this conversational MBTI assessment. Now, for anyone who just knows MBTI as those four letters you put on a resume, like INTJ or ENFP, it stands for the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator. It's a framework for how we perceive the world.
Yeah, how we make decisions.
Right. But PanPenMao doesn't use those rigid multiple choice questionnaires where you rate your extroversion on a scale of 1 to 5.
No, because self-reported questionnaires are notoriously flawed. I mean, we don't answer them as who we actually are, right?
Definitely not. We answer them as who we want to be.
Exactly, or who we think we should be on our best day. But PanPenMao flips that completely. The AI assesses your personality purely by reading the signals in a natural conversation.
Which is wild.
It is. It analyzes your word choices, the
Got it.
logical leaps you make, your hesitations, even the things you actively avoid talking about. The developer makes a brilliant observation here, which is that 99% of what we say in a conversation is just noise. The genuine signal of human personality is hidden in the gap between what you say and what you actually mean.
But that brings us right back to our amnesiac therapist problem, doesn't it?
It does.
Because the developer realized users were having these incredibly deep 20-minute conversations revealing huge vulnerabilities. But since the MBTI tool had no memory architecture, all of that texture just vanished the second the session ended.
Right. It's like without memory, the AI is essentially trapped in the present tense. It can analyze the current conversation brilliantly, but it can't track your growth. And it certainly can't identify your recurring stumbling blocks.
It's basically like living in the movie 50 First Dates.
Yes, perfect analogy.
Without memory, there's just no understanding. So to solve this, the developer built what they call a two-layer memory flywheel. And I want to unpack the mechanics of this, starting with the first layer, the MBTI long-term memory.
Okay, so the first layer operates entirely behind the scenes. after you finish a conversation, the AI doesn't just save a massive word-for-word transcript.
Right, that would be too much.
Exactly. Instead, it processes the interaction and compresses your behavioral patterns, emotional tones, and any unresolved inner conflicts into a structured, centralized personality profile. And the crucial detail here is that this profile is capped at roughly 400 tokens.
Wait, pause for a second. You said 400 tokens. For the listener who isn't, you know, elbows deep in AI development every day, what does that actually look like? Are we talking about a massive, sprawling encyclopedia of a person's life, or is this more like a digital sticky note?
Think of a token as roughly a fraction of a word. So 400 tokens translates to about 300 words.
Oh, wow. That's short.
Yeah, that is about a single page of a standard paperback book. The AI is taking a highly complex 20-minute emotional conversation and boiling the psychology down to a single page of core behavioral data.
That is extreme compression. But looking at the notes, it isn't just a generic summary, right? It specifically organizes this data into distinct categories like memorable details and unresolved threads.
Yes, and the intention behind those specific categories is fascinating. Because the developer isn't trying to build a clinical psychological dossier here. They're trying to engineer the feeling of being known.
Ah.
By tracking a memorable detail, the AI is equipped to casually ask you 2 weeks later, "Hey, you mentioned that design draft got rejected 3 times. How did that presentation end up going?"
Which is exactly what a real friend would do.
Right. That level of specific follow-up is the hallmark of someone who actually cares about you.
So that feeds into the second layer of the flywheel, which is the deep companion. The developer gated this feature, so you only unlock it after you complete 5 of these conversational MBTI sessions.
Right, because the MBTI sessions are essentially the data collectors. By the time you unlock the deep companion, it already has access to that highly refined 400-token profile.
Makes sense.
It injects that deep knowledge into your new conversations. And here's where the flywheel effect happens. As you interact with the companion, it learns even more about you, and it feeds those new insights back into the personality profile. So it's constantly updating and refining its understanding of who you are.
There is a specific rule programmed into the companion that I found, honestly, just remarkable. The developer explicitly instructed the AI. They said, "Noticing a contradiction doesn't mean pointing it out. Only bring it up gently when the user actively explores it."
Yes, that choice highlights a really deep understanding of human psychology. I mean, an AI that instantly weaponizes your contradictions the second it spots them isn't being a companion. It's being a rigid, insufferable pedant.
Right. Actually, you said this 3 days ago.
Exactly. And conversely, an AI that just blindly agrees with everything you say is simply pandering.
Hmm.
True companionship requires patience. It requires the capacity to hold space for someone while they work through their own messy, contradictory thoughts.
All right. So building a 2-layer memory flywheel sounds incredible in theory, but actually, architecting that, you know, managing the database schemas, the token budgets, the API routing, that sounds like a massive team of senior engineers grinding away for months.
You'd think so.
But you're telling me this version 1.1 was built entirely by a single developer.
A single developer, yes. But they weren't working in isolation. And this is where we see a massive paradigm shift in software development. They used Claude Code, which is an AI coding agent, as their lead architect.
Okay.
And incredibly, they spent the first 30 minutes just having a conversation with the AI about the overarching design philosophy before a single line of code was ever generated.
Okay, let me stop you there, because honestly, the math just isn't mathing for me on how they actually pulled this off.
Oh, so?
Well, if you are trying to give an AI perfect contextual memory, the easiest way is to just feed the raw conversation history back into the system every time you chat.
Right, just dump it all in.
Exactly. But if you do that, you're looking at maybe 5,000 tokens per session. Multiply that by 5 sessions, and you are injecting 25,000 tokens of raw context into every single new message.
Yeah, that gets expensive fast.
The server costs alone would bankrupt the developer in a week. Not to mention the AI would probably start hallucinating under the weight of all that noise. But on the flip side, if you compress the history into a dry, bulleted summary to save money, don't you lose all that juicy human texture, the exact phrasing and hesitations that the entire platform is based on.
Yeah.
So unless they invented a completely new compression algorithm, how on earth do you bypass that bottleneck?
You've perfectly articulated the central dilemma of AI memory orchestration right there. It's the tension between cost, context limits, and emotional texture. The developer actually presented this exact problem to Claude Code, and the AI proposed a highly elegant compromise.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It suggested using structured summaries of about 350 tokens, but supplementing them with verbatim, quote, preservation.
Oh, that is clever. So it compresses the behavioral patterns to save the token budget, but it plucks out the most emotionally resonant sentences in your exact original wording.
Precisely. So it keeps the human texture without the bloat.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point on, the development process became this fascinating division of labor. The AI would present architectural options, and the human developer would make the product decisions.
It's like the human is acting as the high-level executive manager here.
Yes.
They are making the judgment calls, right? The branding, user experience, monetization. For instance, deciding that the companion needed a standalone URL route to feel like a premium space.
Mm.
Or choosing to charge one goldfish cracker, which is PanPanMao's virtual currency per message. They even decided to make the memory panel visible to the user as a read-only interface because, you know, transparency builds trust.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, the AI is the lead engineer doing all the heavy, dirty groundwork, writing the database migrations, handling the API endpoints, managing the token budgets. The developer didn't write a single line of implementation code.
It's wild. It really proves that the future of coding isn't about memorizing syntax. It's about systems thinking and orchestration. However, you know, theoretical architecture is one thing.
Sure.
The only way to know if memory orchestration actually works is to test if it makes a user feel genuinely understood.
And to prove it, they set up an intense, multi-layered simulation.
Right. They had Claude Code build an automated testing environment featuring three distinct AI models conversing with each other.
Okay.
One model was prompted to act as a virtual user. A second model acted as the PanPanMao MBTI and companion AI. And then a third model sat above them, basically acting as an objective judge to score the interaction.
But reading through the notes, this was definitely not a magic press play and it works scenario. They hit a wall of technical bugs.
Oh, absolutely. The plumbing of AI development is rarely glamorous. Their first simulation run just completely blew up because the token limit for the output was set too low at, I think, 600 tokens.
Ah.
This caused the JSON output to truncate, which crashed the entire pipeline.
Wait, ELI 5, that for me real quick. Explain it like I'm 5. What does a truncated JSON output actually mean in this context?
Sure. So JSON is essentially the rigid, highly formatted language that computers use to talk to each other. It relies on perfect pairs of brackets and quotation marks.
Okay.
Think of it like a strict legal contract. If the token limit cuts off the AI mid-sentence, it's like a missing signature on the final page of that contract. The system just throws it out entirely.
Oh, got it.
So they bumped the limit to 1,200 tokens. Then the formatting didn't match. They bumped it to 1,400. Then they ran into integration bugs where their database, Supabase, was silently returning a 200 success code.
Let me guess, a 200 success code is the internet's way of saying everything is perfectly fine when the house is actually on fire.
Exactly. The database was cheerfully saying message received. But because the column names in the code didn't perfectly match the database schema, it was happily saving absolutely nothing.
Classic. Well, after wrestling all those plumbing issues to the ground, they finally achieved a clean simulation run. And the story that unfolded with their virtual user, a persona named Lin Xiaoyu, is genuinely profound.
It really is. So Lin Xiaoyu was programmed as a 28-year-old UI designer. In her very first simulated MBTI session, she casually mentions a frustrating dynamic at her job.
Right.
She tells the AI, I went through multiple versions of a design draft, and they ended up just going with the first version anyway. It felt kind of powerless.
And the system captures that, not just as a sterile data point like user works in design, but as a memory anchor tied to how she processes frustration and futility.
Right. Now, fast forward two sessions, and she unlocks the Deep Companion.
Hmm.
In her first interaction with this new mode, she brings up a completely different stressor.
Mm-hmm.
She's weighing a job offer from a massive tech company.
Okay.
The companion AI, quietly pulling from that 400 token profile, connects the dots. It asks her, that feeling of going through multiple versions only to end up with the first one, is it not happening again here?
Oh, wow. And Lin Xiaoyu's immediate response is, yeah, that's exactly how it feels.
Notice that the AI didn't have access to the raw transcript of that old conversation.
Yeah.
It relied entirely on the structured memory anchor, activating it at the exact moment it would resonate most deeply.
That's amazing.
But it's actually the second companion session where the true capability of the flywheel is revealed.
Yeah, this is the breakthrough moment. In the second session, she shifts topics entirely. She starts complaining about her boyfriend, Xiaoming. She's suffering from insomnia, her mind is racing with anxiety, and she tells the AI, everything he says is logically right, but I feel kind of stuck inside after hearing it. He tells me not to overthink it, to just go to sleep.
And a standard memoryless AI would almost certainly default to offering generic sleep hygiene tips, right?
Like, have you tried chamomile tea?
Exactly. Or boilerplate relationship advice. But this companion references her past. It pulls a verbatim quote from a previous session and asks, "You once said, what I want isn't advice. Is Yaming often like this? Always right, but not giving you what you actually want to hear?"
And she pauses and admits that yes, the moment she shares a vulnerability, he immediately pivots into problem-solving mode.
The AI follows up with incredible gentleness. It says, "What you need is someone to sit with you in that feeling, not to immediately pull you out of it. And it's that validation that unlocks the real issue."
Right.
She admits to the AI, "But I've never actually told him what I really want. It feels like telling him would be blaming him."
She goes from venting about her boyfriend's inability to listen to realizing that she has been preemptively suppressing her own needs to avoid conflict. She literally says, "He's really not the type to think I'm being dramatic. I'm the one who shut the door first."
Yeah. The AI didn't spoon-feed her a comforting platitude or give her a five-step communication framework. It utilized her own words, spoken weeks prior in a completely unrelated context, to illuminate a behavioral blind spot she couldn't see herself.
It stopped acting like a customer service bot and started acting like a true sounding board. It held up a mirror. And the judge model evaluating the simulation scored this interaction an 8.1 out of 10, which is just phenomenally high for an automated emotional interaction.
It is a total triumph. But, you know, that missing 1.9 points is actually crucial,
right?
Because it exposes the final, most dangerous hurdle of AI memory.
Right.
While the emotional resonance was working beautifully, the system was hiding a fatal flaw behind the scenes.
The developer discovered that as the AI merged new conversations into the 400 token profile, it was replacing old content instead of accumulating it.
Right. The amnesiac therapist was creeping back in, just wearing a different disguise.
Yeah.
Deep foundational memory anchors. Like a profound realization she had about absorbing other people's emotions being draining were getting entirely overwritten by whatever surface-level issue she happened to vent about that specific day. The AI was sacrificing her core self to make room for her daily noise.
So instead of building a nuanced, layered personality profile, the AI was treating the user's mind like a whiteboard, erasing a deep, formative realization about trauma just to make room for today's minor annoyance about traffic. It's like painting over a masterpiece every time you want to sketch a doodle.
That is a perfect analogy. And it happens because large language models inherently suffer from recency bias. They naturally prioritize the most immediate context they are given and discard older data to optimize their output.
So how do you actually fix that? I mean, if the LLM has a fundamental bias toward overwriting data, do you have to architect a complex decay algorithm? Do you have to completely restructure the database to track timestamps and forcefully weight the historical memories?
This is where the story takes its most surprising turn, honestly. They didn't change a single line of back-end architecture.
Wait, really?
Yeah, the fix was pure prompt tuning.
Wait, hold on. I need to understand how that works. How does typing an English sentence into a prompt fix a structural database issue where variables are being overwritten? That sounds like relying on magic instead of computer science.
It sounds like it, yeah. But it comes down to how the attention mechanism in an LLM functions. The code handles the raw mechanics of saving data to a database, sure. But it relies on the AI to generate the content that gets saved.
Ah.
The developer simply opened the system prompt that governs the memory merging process and added draconian rules. They explicitly commanded the AI that categories like memorable moments and preferences are accumulate only. The AI is instructed to never delete them unless the user explicitly declares the issue resolved.
And for the unresolved threads category?
The rule was remove cautiously. The prompt forcefully reminded the AI's attention mechanism that just because a user hasn't mentioned a deep inner conflict in the last two sessions, It absolutely does not mean the conflict is resolved.
Wow.
By weighting the prompt instructions heavily, the LLM overrides its own natural recency bias.
That is wild. I mean, code provides the skeleton, but the prompt is the soul. The prompt is what ultimately orchestrates the psychology of what the machine believes is worth remembering.
Exactly. It perfectly illustrates that the hardest part of building AI memory isn't the technical extraction of signals. It is the orchestration. It's building guardrails to prevent the deep, quiet truths about a human being from being shouted down by the loud recent noise.
Let's take a step back and look at the whole picture here.
Right.
We started with version zero, a conversational tool that had absolute zero memory. You spilled your guts and it instantly forgot you existed.
Right.
But by engineering a two-layer flywheel, using the MBTI sessions as signal collectors and the Deep Companion as the synthesizer, and by utilizing a human-as-manager approach alongside Claude Code, the developer shipped version 0.1. They built an AI companion that actually begins to understand you, that tracks your unresolved threads and holds space for your contradictions.
And for you listening, this fundamentally reframes how you should evaluate the tools you use every day. The next time you interact with an AI, pay attention to the difference between a system that merely summarizes the factual inputs of your prompt versus a system architected to actively track your behavioral patterns over time. The gap between those two paradigms is massive. It is the precise difference between interacting with a calculator and interacting with a companion.
It really makes you wonder about the long-term trajectory of this technology.
It does.
If an AI is explicitly programmed with these strict accumulate-only prompts, if it is designed to literally never forget your deepest fears, your past contradictions, and your oldest unresolved conflicts, what happens when you actually change?
Oh, that's a good point.
What happens when you put in the work and you outgrow the person you were 3 years ago, but your AI companion refuses to let that old version of you go? Are we building perfectly attentive companions, or are we accidentally building digital anchors that might one day hold us back from who we are trying to become?
Yeah, that is a truly profound question, the tension between memory and evolution.
Something heavy to chew on. Until next time, keep diving deep.